Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Hour 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Football Friday. It's been mostly basketball. That's right. Deal with it.
No, it's been awesome. Mm. Well, I mean, if there's something to talk about.
More fun that way.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening to 1080 AM or watching along on youtube.com/1080AM The Fan or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful football Friday. And let's dive into some football. The
you
last
talk about this betting line that I just was emailed about the flag football Pro Bowl.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is that from our guy?
NFC. No, this is okay. From Josh Barton. Okay. The NFC is favored by 1.5.
Hmm.
In a flag football, the over-under is 90.5.
That's nasty stuff.
I think if you're betting on that, that's what the 800 numbers are for.
Yeah, 100% call the number. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Pretty sure that's where it
goes. That's filthy.
Yikes.
I have... I don't even know how to pivot out of that. Well, the Saints aren't gambling with their next coaching hire.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But, yeah. It sounds very much like the New Orleans Saints, the last head coaching opening in the NFL, is going to go after Kellen Moore.
Oh, no way! Yeah, this was the worst kept secret was that Joe Brady, Kellen Moore, those were the two guys that they were kind of targeting. And right now, if you look at the way that they've kind of been dragging their feet seemingly on the outside, they've got through a flurry of interviews really early in this process. And when you don't have a hire come out of it, it's not that everybody's saying no. It's that you found your guy and he's still working. And for Joe Brady, who just got done working this past Sunday, now you have Kellen Moore. You're just going to have to wait. And that tells me you got the handshake agreement. You know that they're going to go down, play in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. They're going to have to do a face-to-face interview. He doesn't even have to leave the damn city. He may not even go back to Philadelphia. He may just tell his wife, pack everything up.
See you down here.
We ain't leaving New Orleans after Super Bowl 59. And if and when that happens, the Saints have got their guy, and they got an offensive coach who does not have a quarterback, who does not have salary cap space, but has a long runway. And that's the thing. When you're a young coach like Kellen Moore, who, if you don't have any of those things, like salary cap space or a quarterback, give me a lot of time to work with this and give me some guarantees. For everything that Mickey Loomis has gotten criticized for in their salary cap hell that they are in, he kept them in a window of relevancy for a very long time.
A lot longer than I think people realized that was possible.
And kicking the can down the road with Drew Brees to keep he and Sean Payton together, like that was really important. Now they're just in this salary cap hellscape where they're already like $60-some million over the cap. And league new year hasn't even started yet. So it's going to be a long road for the Saints to get back to. But Kellen Moore, in all of these new coaches, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Until he gets a quarterback and until they have the ability to have some flexibility, it's going to be just a crapshoot in New Orleans.
I don't know if this is the kind of deal you necessarily want to take. I think he should have probably gone the way of the Ben Johnson, because this is not going to be a good job. This is going to be a difficult place. You don't – what's – as bad as the Raiders' job is, what's the allure of New Orleans? What's the shiny thing? You don't have cap space. You don't have draft capital. Like, dude, you don't have a quarterback. Like,
and you've got an aging roster.
Like, there's nothing on that team. Like, there's not even
– Taysom Hill.
There's not even like a shine, like, hey, there's a really good first round DB, like, there, or there's a really good promising left guard that we picked up in the third round last year. Like, there's nothing on that roster. You're like,
okay, hey, you get the fifth youngest roster in the NFL.
How is that possible with how many old dudes they have?
Well, it's because they're taking up all their money.
God, that's crazy.
I mean, you can have. Right now, Derek Carr is 34. He's taken up $51.4 million. Cam Jordan is 36. He's taking up $20 million. Taysom Hill, who is 35. God, those BYU guys age so fast. He's taken up $18 million. So if you think of that in those terms right there, with just those three guys, you're looking at 31% of your cap is built into Derek Carr, Cameron Jordan, and Taysom Hill.
So your most promising players on your roster are very likely Fuaga and Olave.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. No, and here's the thing is now you're – this is the hard part with running backs, right? Alvin Kamara, really damn good. He is now on the wrong side of 30. And he is going to be paid $10 million. Not a whole heck of a lot of money. You're okay with that. But you're looking at another valuable piece who's getting older and older, right? Olave is 25. Fuaga is 23. And that's where you get to. This roster is really young. If you want to look at where all their young bucks are, dude, they've got a bunch of 24 and under guys that are getting paid $1 million or less. So that's how they've had to build the roster. That's how you have the fifth youngest roster
just
in the NFL.
Depth guys, though, because I mean, like, I mean,
yeah, no, yeah, yeah. That's all they are.
Is the thing? Is there anybody there? That's the thing. Is you look at this roster and you're just like,
so next year they're going to take a $31 million cap hit on Marshawn Lattimore, who doesn't play for them.
God.
A $9 million bath on Michael Thomas. A $7.3 million bath on Jameis Winston. So that's where your money is going.
Goodness gracious.
16% of your salary cap
is dead cap.
17% is Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas, and Jameis Winston. Okay. At least Drew Brees is gone and off the books.
Finally?
Yeah.
What was that, 4 years later?
So just think of that. We just went over 17% of your cap is in dead money, and then another 31% is in three players. That's how you enter salary cap hell. But for Kellen Moore, you have a down year. You don't – you have the opportunity to institute your culture, figure out some things in your first year as a head coach with low expectations, and then you get off of a lot of dead money after this year, and now things can start making a little bit more sense for you moving forward as a team. And look, the Saints had to make some really tough decisions. It hasn't been, you know, the most business savvy. And look, Derek Carr, have you seen what his 2026 number is? He won't be there. It's $61 million, and he won't be there.
What's the dead?
But if he is, if they kind of clean their books, they owe no more money moving forward for 2026. 2025 will be a big year of dead money. It'll be $28 million when they get off of him. So you're looking at $28 million in dead cap, and that seems a lot better moving forward. Hopefully he might return.
Is that the worst job in the league right now?
Oh, no.
What's the worst job in the league?
The worst. Because here's the thing about the New Orleans Saints. You have a division that is going to be...
Sure. It's significantly less competitive than the AFC West. That's for sure.
Yeah. The worst job in the NFL, though...
I mean, this is up there.
Yeah.
I mean...
It is.
Is it this? Is it Dallas?
I don't think...
I think this is a particular hell because there's almost nothing redemptive and there's no way out of it.
Well, there is. It's just
time.
Yeah, next year.
But I'm saying, right? there's no, like, next year is, you're awful. There's
Tennessee. Tennessee might
really
be. You have the number one pick.
That's a big deal, though.
But
that's not the draft that you wanted to be.
You're not
going to
have a quarterback.
No, but, like, is a number one pick a good thing to have? Like, I think that's something, like, tangible to go forward with.
Yeah.
And their books are a lot cleaner.
But it's a dysfunctional organization top to bottom.
Sure.
Remember, they fired Mike Vrabel because he was mean.
Yeah.
Or actually, no. Looked mean.
Intimidating.
Looked
because
mean.
He intimidated their general manager, who they fired.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't good at his job.
So, I will say Tennessee's not a great job. This one is up there, but they've done it before. Their ownership isn't great. I think it's a better job than Carolina is. Because getting the number one pick doesn't mean that you're going to find the guy.
Yeah.
We saw vast improvement from Bryce Young at the end of the year.
I still don't believe.
But you're telling me the ownership is worse in New Orleans than Carolina? No. It's not good, but it's not worse than what they got with David Tepper. And they're in your division.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Kind of tells you where you're at.
Okay.
You know? And then
it's one of the worst three jobs in the league.
Yeah. The Jets are up there too. Just because
Woody
of everything
Johnson.
Woody Johnson and being the New York Jets.
Yeah. But there's no shortage of talent there. That's for damn sure.
No. No.
Like, you've got dudes
and that's,
on that roster.
And that's what might make it worse. Is that you have dudes and you've had dudes and you just can't get out of your way.
And you're still constrained because
I hope Aaron Glenn does a good job there, though.
I do too.
I like Aaron Glenn a lot.
I mean, they keep trying the culture, guys.
Yeah.
Just to try to, I mean, the culture might just be broken because there's no amount of culture you can fix when your owner's that bad. See Commanders, Washington.
Yeah, buddy.
It's not like they didn't bring in coaches that were culture guys.
No.
Ron Rivera was a culture guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked to the guy and we were when we got done with it was like you want to run through a wall?
I will say the worst culture guy in the league was the owner.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's no amount of culture guy that can compensate for crappy culture owner.
Yeah,
that's just so toxic.
Yeah.
So all right. So there you go. There's your final coaching news. In the NFL, looks like it's very likely going to be Mr. Kellen Moore.
Oof.
For the New Orleans Saints, which I didn't think they'd go that way when it all was all said and done, but it's an interesting spot to land.
The pride of Prosser.
Mm.
Kellen Moore.
There you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot back to some basketball because
there's
some audio that came out from New Orleans, of all places. New Orleans, the epicenter of sports right now. And this is something that I've tried to push for a while now when people talk about players not playing. Organizations have a lot more say than people think. Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Tanny the Fan.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to
Prime Time with Isaac. This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Adam Silver got up the other day and talked about all the things that are wrong with basketball, which stop doing that, you... Oh, God. It bothers me so much.
I think there are plenty of things that people are complaining about.
Sure, though. There's plenty of things that people complain about in Major League Baseball and complain about the NFL. Don't get up there and talk about how much your product sucks. Easy way to fix things. Number one, start games on time. Somebody did the research on it, and ESPN starts 14 minutes later on average than their posted start time.
And I don't,
14 minutes is egregious.
I don't think that any, but I think TNT's worse. I know that the numbers didn't back it up, but they have such small sample sizes. The second games never start on time. Never. Like, they'll tell you 7:30, and a Blazer game's going to start at 7:45 at the earliest.
7:50.
Yeah, 7:53, I think, is like usually when it starts. It's like, yeah, that's a problem. But also, the product is much harder to watch, which is an issue because of
the
lack of contact, lack of contact, and the rules that they just said, nope, we're, instead of peeling back the rule book, we're just going to add this rule. So now it's an impossible game to officiate. And last night, Casey Holdall made a great point on Twitter when he was like, you know, the commissioner wants to make a change in something. How about not have a 5-minute review in a game that's 19 points right now in the fourth quarter? You don't need to expedite all of your reviews because those take far too long to decide any review in the NBA. It does not need it to any sport. Your reviews take too long. Major League Baseball actually does a pretty good job. They do it relatively quickly. Every other sport, it's absolutely egregious how long your reviews take. Yeah. It does not need to be that long.
If it's not immediately discernible, pack it up, keep it moving.
Yep. Boom. Gone. Review process takes too long. And then also, like, Adam Silver acknowledged the fact that, yeah, if you're going to acknowledge anything that went wrong, maybe your entity leaned into the highlight culture a little bit too much.
Yeah, when you lead out your press conferences with impressions, which, again, stop doing that. It's basketball, not TikTok. Drives me insane. This is old man shaking fist at cloud. Yeah. Look, I get the highlight culture stuff. It's fun. Start talking about the game. Make the game matter. And when you start talking about parts of the game and discounting everything else, the actual product on the floor, this is what you get. I think the biggest part of this, too, is the season is 82 games. It will not be cut down because the inventory is too valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But organizations have to stop sitting stars. And Zion Williamson was asked at a press conference about his return, and like, he's not going to play in back-to-backs. And just listen to his own words, and we'll dive into it.
If I can play in the back-to-backs, I would. I physically, yes, I can. But I work for the Pelicans. They have decided that based off the numbers, you know, it's not smart to do that right now.
Number one, I don't think most people realize what Zion Williamson actually sounds like.
Yeah.
Because you think of 6'6", 285-pound freak of nature. Sounding like this is a little weird.
Yeah.
And it's very...
I kind of like his voice.
No, it's yeah. comforting.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to Zion in person a couple times. It's, honestly, since he was a kid, it was the first time I ever talked to him, it caught me off guard. I'm like, oh, God. That's not the voice I expected to come out of you.
The big thing there is... He says, because I work for, and he took a look over, and there's a Pelicans logo behind him, and he's like, the Pelicans.
Yeah.
By the way, same ownership group of the New Orleans Saints, the Benson family. And if you're gathering kind of what we're putting down here, not great ownership there, but also they're trying to protect their investment because they've paid him a butt ton of money. We talked about this with Joel Embiid yesterday. In that Joel Embiid has played 446 games, sat out 400 of them, and he in the 400 games he sat out, he's made $125 million sitting out of games. That's not all on Joel Embiid. Is early in his career not taking care of his body a big part of it? For yep. both of these guys, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For Embiid and Zion, 100%. But it's gotten to the point where now it's not just them, it's the organization saying, well, we paid you a lot of money. We want return on our investment. And that means that we are not going to play you in back-to-backs. It's not wholly on the player.
More often than not, players being shut down is because of the organization. More often than not.
And there's a lot of things that Zion has done that have not been okay, right?
A lot of we can't even talk about.
A lot of the things that have surrounded him, like with, it's his stepdad, right? His stepdad has kind of handled his brand since he was in high school.
Yeah.
And it has...
To his detriment.
Been 100% to his detriment and to his ego.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now I'm at the point where Zion is punching back and saying, look, I just want to play basketball at this point.
I hope he matures. Like,
and it sounds like he is.
To that extent, Trae Young didn't make the All-Star team. And I don't usually get into the personal stuff off on air, but I'll get into it here a little bit. Trae Young is widely disliked in the NBA. Widely. His former teammates are disgusted by him.
Yeah.
Not as like he's the worst human ever. He's just not somebody you bleep with.
Mm-hmm.
Like his former teammates openly talk cash stuff about him and have for years. And I was talking to somebody who is very tight with the Hawks, and they told me this summer he matured. I guess he's got a kid now, and the kid grew up. Like, Trae Young grew up. And there's this kind of feeling that he kind of turned the corner. And he's having a good year statistically, not efficiency-wise. It's been god-awful. But there has been a change in how he plays. Yes, he still dribbles the air of the ball, but him getting off the ball is not like, okay, you can touch it now. It's more within the flow of the team concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it's led to the growth of Jalen Johnson and his teammates like kind of bringing him in and accepting him. And like, there's a better culture there. But like, the whole like idea of him not making the All-Star list, the reserves, it's because people don't like him.
Yep.
And as much as him growing up now, he had a tweet. It's like, it's not getting snub. It's called getting trade. And it's like, no, dude, you spent 7 years with people not liking you. And look, shouts to you for like maturing and growing, but they're not all just going to make the switch just because you finally grew up. And it's to Zion, it's the same extent. I hope he grows up. I hope he figures it out because he is so dynamic, so explosive, so unique, so much fun to watch. Same with Trey, very different styles, but like, they were catered to. They took advantage of things, both on and off the floor, and to their detriments. And it's like, this is part of the stuff we talked about last week.
Yeah.
The whole idea of like kids getting too much and why staying in college, making your money there, maturing, not only on the court, but off the court, like just coming to the league with a better understanding because you will get out of pocket very quickly.
Look, to be quite honest, it's be an idiot when you're young.
Yeah.
And being an idiot when you're young is, I can't imagine what it would be like in the spotlight.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, if you gave me that latitude and that money, I'd end up in jail. I am not speaking down on these guys at all.
You ended up in jail a few times.
Without that.
Without that. Yeah. Yeah.
You imagine if I had access to a private jet? International crime? You kidding me? Non-extradition countries?
This guy, literally, can't take him anywhere. Even on a private jet.
Good God.
Even on a private jet.
The things that...
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff, I think one of the best things that happened to basketball media is Jeff Teague having a podcast and just like shining a light on how stupid young NBA players are, like how out of pocket they got.
And you want to talk about, I think the one thing that's missed in the college landscape with NIL and everything is the fact that we don't talk about now the challenge of college coaches. And this is why college player development, college GMs, and you're going to start hearing all of these terms become more and more valuable and more of importance, is that those individuals in those positions at universities now will be in charge of making sure the money doesn't go straight to the kid's head, doesn't go straight to a bad actor's pockets. Then there's plenty of them that will try to prey on these young athletes, see the NIL brokers who are taking 20%.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Right? And trying to tell you it's very similar to 3%. No, it's not. And they will also be the ones that keep these young people in check that are given hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and they're still college kids around other college kids. There is an element of financial responsibility, but also being a responsible adult that's going to be taught in the college ranks. And in the NBA, in the NFL, and in Major League Baseball for so long, it was you were giving teenagers $1 million or more, tens of millions of dollars in some instances, and they had no idea how to act because they're still kids, right? Like, that's the thing about LeBron James. Like, you say what you want about LeBron.
He has handled this damn near flawlessly.
He does not have any semblance of what being a normal person
is. No, self-awareness is not something that exists for him.
But the fact that that dude has not run into issues over his lifespan when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 years old, it's incredible.
He's literally our age.
It's incredible.
It makes no sense.
And everybody wanted to crucify him when he was a teenager driving a yellow Hummer. Remember that?
Yeah, he got a bag.
Get out of here with that. Really? That and the decision are the worst things that we know about from LeBron?
Yeah, and the thing about the decision, the money from the show went to the Boys and Girls Club. Man. So even when he got it wrong, he got it right.
Hot damn. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
To me, he is the peak of keeping it straight in the spotlight.
And like
no one has done it better than him.
And we want to sit there and say
Tiger bumbled it, yeah. Jordan bumbled it, Magic bumbled it. Like, you go down the list, Michael Jackson bumbled it. The people who have been the peak person on the planet, no one has done it better than him.
And even his kids are seemingly okay.
Yeah.
Like, Bronny, born into this weird orbit of the world that nobody should know.
What's the worst thing he's done?
His dad got him in the NBA.
Like, Leo Messi, the unassuming, tax fraud and tax evasion.
Yeah.
Like, all of these guys have, like, every single one of them has found something, and
that's
the thing. He has not.
And that's the thing about, like, what I was saying with the GMs and player development people, it's the bad actors, too. Like, Messi wasn't like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to screw everybody over on my taxes. No, you hire your agent and you hire your money manager, and guess what happens? All of a sudden, money starts going somewhere. Look, Ohtani, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Ohtani's interpreter is siphoning money off the top because, like, he was like, this is somebody I can trust. Nope. Wrong.
Turned out the guy that LeBron trusted, who was selling jerseys out of the back of his car,
is now the most powerful agent.
was in fact about that life.
That's Rich Paul selling Mitchell and S knockoffs out of his trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron's like, you know what?
That's
you're
my
agent. And it turns out, worked out really well for him.
One in a bajillion chance.
For now. I still think the other shoe may drop. I don't know. Yeah.
But he's dating Adele.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just makes no sense.
It's incredible.
All right. Coming up next, the biggest rivalry in college basketball is happening this weekend. Do you care? First, here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
The showdown in Tobacco Country renews its rivalry this weekend as Duke takes on North Carolina.
All right.
Do you care?
Yeah, I do, because Cooper Flagg is playing in the game. So I will care a little bit. In rivalry games, like, everything's ratcheted up a few more notches. And so that, to me, you get to see how somebody reacts in pressure. Ryan McGee, ESPN, he wrote a really good long piece about this. Like, Cooper Flagg, you've experienced a lot. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into tonight.
As a heads up, McGee is a North Carolina born and bred guy.
Yeah, buddy.
And people obviously realize that there's a rivalry between Duke and North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't think people understand just how close they are. Geographically, it is 11 miles.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, that it is one of the closest, like, rivalries, like, in sports.
Portland State has to travel further to go play their home football games.
Oh, God.
I'm not joking about that.
That's so, like, but it also puts into reference just, like, how close this is.
Yeah.
It's a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
Like, Duke and North Carolina intermingle with each other all day, every day.
That's crazy. Do you think, like, there's apartment complexes where there's, like, Duke and North Carolina students living in the same apartment complex?
Yeah, look, well, I would say there's a level of broke, but, like, even though North Carolina's public, there's money around there.
Well, I know, and, like, college students are just college students. You're just looking for the place that'll afford you the most beer money.
I mean, exactly.
I mean, that's how you pick your place to live in college.
Indeed.
Shout outs 3000 Nova Drive, where I live.
And how close you can get to cheap beer.
Yeah, we were right next to the Bi-Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, ain't that the truth?
It matters.
Yeah, it actually does. You know? It does. It does.
Because you don't want to have to carry that a long way, because sometimes you don't have cars.
No. No. Yeah.
In fact, I'd argue a lot of times you don't have a car.
If you're responsible, yeah. You probably shouldn't.
And if it's in walking distance,
gets you out a lot.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Duke, North Carolina has not had the juice this year. Not because Duke ain't bringing the juice, because they've got the best player in the country in Cooper Flagg. Not even likely. He's the number one overall pick. If somebody doesn't pick him number one overall, it's because his legs fell off.
Yeah, well, there's that.
That's it's done. It's so far done. It's Victor Wembanyama all over again, as far as how done this is.
But to look at North Carolina, like, North Carolina is 13-9 on the year.
They're not good. They're going to miss the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament.
But this is the crazy thing. They've gone on the skids. They've lost three of the last four games, mm-hmm. and they have losses to Pitt, Wake Forest, and Stanford in that stretch. Prior to that, these are their losses. At the time, number one Kansas,
mm-hmm.
number four Auburn,
mm-hmm.
a Michigan State team that did not lose in the month of January.
No, for the first time ever, Tom Izzo was undefeated in December and January. Crazy
10th-ranked Alabama team, a 7th-ranked Florida team,
mm-hmm.
and then Louisville, which
is always pesky.
They're game, and they're now ranked 21st in the mm-hmm. country. Okay, so it's not like their losses have mm-mm. come to scrub teams until you get to three of the last four.
And
this is exactly what happens in this rivalry, right? Is where you sit there and you go, yeah, you know, it's not Duke's year, not Carolina's year. And what happens? They go and they blow the doors off the other team.
Yes. And for reference, Stanford beat them 72-71. Wake Forest beat them 67-66. And then you had a 73-65 loss to Pitt.
Crazy.
So they've all been close.
Yeah.
Now, some of their losses early in the season, not as much. Alabama 94-79. Michigan State was a 3-point loss. Auburn was a 13-point loss. And Kansas was a 3-point loss. So they've been there, but they just haven't been able to get over the hump. They're just, they don't have the dude this year.
Well, Duke does. I'm excited for that. This is a good weekend to have it. I feel like the ACC did the right thing by looking at the sports calendar, and this is what I think a lot more mm-hmm. conferences need to start doing, is saying, all right, hey, college basketball, why shouldn't college basketball own this weekend?
Be front and center in a weekend that nothing else is going on. Take a look at what's going on tomorrow.
There are three great SEC matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at 9 o'clock, you've got
number 5 Florida, mm-hmm. number 8 Tennessee are playing.
Two of the best programs in the country.
They both play real slow.
Top 25 matchup of Missouri and Mississippi State.
Uh-huh.
Won't do anything for you as far as the brands go in basketball, but those are good ones. Arizona plays Arizona State tomorrow. Like, that's a rivalry game that you have where it'll give something for the people down there to care about. You've got Auburn Ole Miss, top 25 game.
And they've got the second best player in the country in Jani Broome back after a sprained ankle.
Kansas State plays Iowa State, which I think at the beginning of the year you're thinking that's probably going to be a pretty good game. It probably won't be. But you had two brands at the beginning of the year. They said, hey, I think this may be a matchup that people are going to want to keep their eye on and they're going to want to watch.
You get Tech versus Houston.
That's going to be a really good game. Yep.
That's going to be a good game. That's going to be good basketball.
UP Pepperdine, just great matchups all around the weekend.
No, UConn Marquette.
That's why I'm going to do it.
Like they're
Portland State, Montana State.
And the other one, so the main card is Duke, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The co-main event, the return of Coach Cal to Rupp Arena in Kentucky.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you see what Pitino did?
Yeah, Pitino said he shouldn't be booed, which means that Coach Cal is going to get booed to no end.
I wonder if Pitino did this to like, in a sense of like, I'm going to say this,
yeah,
and I know it's going to make it worse, but I'm going to get all the credit for like taking the high road.
I think it's great.
And also, because he drops in there, look, Cal and I aren't friends, but I have a ton of respect for him.
Oh, so nice.
But I wonder if that was, it's almost like a, I'll get all the credit for taking the high road, and sure, but at the same time, I'm going to rile up this fan base. What do you mean, don't tell me to boo him? He went to our rival.
Yeah.
Which, no, he didn't. He just went in conference. Arkansas wasn't your rival in basketball.
And like, y'all wanted him out of town anyway.
Yeah, you wanted him gone. You're just mad that he went to a school with even more money and resources and took your entire roster with him.
Yeah, Kentucky's doing better anyway, though.
Yes and no.
I mean,
Pope came in and brought in a bunch of fourth and fifth year guys and got them bought in immediately. Pope's a hell of a coach.
Didn't Arkansas like just win their first conference game? Yeah, they just beat Georgia. They're 1-6 in conference.
Oh yeah, play. No, I'm talking about the players they took with them in the long run. Like,
oh yeah,
I mean Boogie Flynn breaking his hand is not helping them.
Never gonna be. But they were 0-4 with Boogie Flynn.
Well, he's been yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's Coach Cal.
Arkansas has not mattered in basketball, and now they do
since 40 minutes of hell, man.
Yeah. Now they're back.
They mattered with Musselman.
Yeah, well, bus.
The
short span.
In the pantheon of basketball, they have not been Kentucky.
I love how hurt you felt by that.
I like Mus. He takes off his shirt when he wins.
Look, I love
it's funny.
I like Mus.
No, I like Mus. No. I said it first.
Uh-oh, we're having a Mus off.
Have you seen the guy at Omaha who every time they win, he kicks the trash can?
No.
I like that guy. The guy's awesome.
No.
I don't know his name.
He's going to break his foot at some point.
Don't know how good Omaha is every time they win.
The Omaha Mavericks are 7-1 in Summit League play.
He's kicked a lot of trash cans.
Yeah, 13-10 overall.
He hit it with
a bat
once.
If he kicks a trash can when they win, what does he do when they lose?
Jumps in the trash
kicks
can.
Kicks a baby?
Hopefully not like that old Rutgers coach.
Oh, you mean Mike Rice's kid?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot it was Mike Rice's kid.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That derailed even more than I'm used to.
Mm. We were talking about basketball.
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, I'll ask again, are you going to watch here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan?
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Courtesy of Tankathon, you have now run multiple simulations for the Portland Trailblazers in the mock draft lottery. How did it go?
Not well, if you're a Blazer fan. So we were talking about this in the first hour of the show. If you missed it, check out the audio vault on the Odyssey app or 1080thefan.com. I ran it 30 times, okay? And I kept track of after 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30 rounds. After 5 rounds, the Blazers got the 9th pick 3 times, the 2nd pick once, and the 3rd pick once.
Okay.
After 20 rounds, the Blazers got the 10th pick once, the 9th pick 5 times, the 8th pick 5 times, the 7th pick 4 times, the 4th pick twice, the 3rd pick once, and the 2nd pick once.
Okay.
So you're looking at 11 of the 20 came 8, 9, or 10.
Mm-hmm.
After 30 rounds of it, the Blazers got the 1st pick 1 time.
Yep.
On the 21st push.
Yep.
The 2nd pick once, the 3rd pick twice, the 4th pick twice, and then the 7th pick 7 times, the 8th pick 10 times, the 9th pick 6 times, and the 10th pick once. it does feel like doing that. Yeah, there's your chances right there. That's not reassuring.
So you're saying there's a chance
of not landing? I mean, just to think of it, there's four of the 30 were in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10, 23 were 7, 8, or 9.
The big drop-off isn't necessarily the number one overall pick. You go from 14% at the very top to where Portland's at right now in number seven at 7.5%, a little less than half. The big change is between 5 and 7, and that is a 42% chance of the top four versus a 32% chance of the top four.
Mm.
That's the real change, and that's really where you're going to get hit. Because that is a significant difference.
It's big, man.
Yeah. And I have this. Look, Cooper's the best player in this draft as far as potential. Dylan Harper is a guy I think can be all NBA. And I'm a little conflicted on Ace Bailey, but I think there's four guys in this draft, maybe five, that you're looking at as like out of the gate all-star potential guys. After that, you have questions. Doesn't mean that it guarantees anything one way or the other.
Holy moly.
See every draft ever. But you always want to have more bites of the apple.
You do. All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Coming up, you have 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday, noon to 3, right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.